We're going to continue our series on the expositions of Romans, chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. And today we're going to continue the theme of God's love. God not only loves men in general, but there are those who are loved of him unto salvation. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. Let us give reading to God's word. Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Notice the next two words, in love. In love. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. In eternity past, before the foundations of the world, we are told that God set his eternal and his distinguishing love upon those whom he chose in Christ. This eternal and distinguishing love is evident. It's evidence of the fact that God contrived the plan of redemption and the plan of reconciliation. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 19. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, here's the plan. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What a great impending responsibility we have. Think of all that is involved in the salvation of those whom God purposed to save. The minute details from one's birth till the time that God intervenes and does that saving work of grace that he alone can do, and the means to bring it about, and the timing, and all of the details for you and for me and for others whom God purposes to save. I think of the young man that I'm endeavoring to witness to, that I quite providentially met in downtown Oaxahatchee. And I reflect back upon that very often, how that the timing, through an incident of a confusion on a receipt, caused me to make another trip back to the store. And I won't go into the details, but in my mind and my heart, I can see the timing and my coming back and going back And I'm doing some follow-up visits and witnessing to this young man. But that's just one individual. But God is at work redeeming his ones that he has purposed to save. Take it all the way back into the covenant of redemption between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those involved in that meeting, if we want to call it that. Christ was appointed to be their Savior. Through him, those whom God purposed to save would know the pardon of sin through the blood of Christ. What a message we have to preach. What would it involve? This is what it would involve. And we want to keep that in mind as we come to the table. Our Lord would assume their nature. Virgin birth in Bethlehem. That's what it would mean. But it would mean something else. In the fullness of time, he would redeem them by dying on the cross as their substitute. He would shed his blood for the remission of their sins. There are other aspects of God's love towards his elect. There is no cause of God's love outside of God. There is nothing in man that would motivate God to love him or save him. All men by nature are corrupt and abominable, rather to be loathed than loved, guilty of sin. But does that tell us something? Does that tell us something of God's love? He can love even the corrupt sinner. Why? Because that distinguishing love was set upon them, not in time, but in eternity past. It only becomes a reality in time. But as God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit entered into that covenant of redemption, there were those whom God purposed to save, and they were chosen in love. Our good works do not motivate God to love us. Turn with me to Romans 9:11. Romans 9:11. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad in order that God's purpose according to his choice might stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls. In verse 13, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. I'm going to ask you to turn to a couple of more references. First of all, keep in mind this truth. None of us are capable of any good thing apart from the regenerate power of God. we are not capable of pleasing God until God has done that work of redemption in our hearts. Yes, Ephesians tells us we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are told in Titus concerning Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession. Our faith does not motivate God to love us, for we do not have saving faith until regenerated by the power of God. Amen. Saving faith, dear people, is an evidence of spiritual life, not the cause of it. So we see, we do not merit the love of God because of who we are or because of the works we do. Now let's turn back to Ephesians. I know I'm asking you to turn to a lot of references, but I want us to do so. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's read this together carefully, thoughtfully. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Now notice carefully verse 4. Just as he chose us. How did he choose us? Look at those two little words. In him. Who's the him? Christ. Now look at it. Just as he chose us in Christ. When did he make that choice? Before the foundation of the world. In eternity past, the choice was made. Why were we chosen? That we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Here's the next astounding word. He predestined us. Yes. That word is in the Bible. You're looking at it. Predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. I'm going to ask you to turn to one more reference and then I'll give you a rest. Let's read John 17. This is Christ's intercessory prayer. But it tells us something. It tells about the way God saved us. Look at John 17, 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. How would you define God's love? How would you describe it? We've rather cheapened that word, have we not? It's interesting, in English, how many words do we have for love? One. We have other words that are similar, like, but just love. Now, how many words are there in Spanish for love? Amar and querer, right? Amar, amo, querer, quiero. Is there a difference between those two words in the way they're used? A big difference, isn't there? To tell someone te quiero mucho, te amo mucho, is there a difference? Yes, there's a difference. It's not the same word, it's not the same meaning. But in Greek, there are at least three words to say love. There's a sensual love, there's the, help me. What?
There's brotherly love, filial.
Filial love. What else?
Agape.
Agape. That's divine love. Divine love. We have so cheapened even our little word in English, love. We go around saying, oh, I love hamburgers. You what? You love hamburgers? You do? Don't you mean you like them a lot? Why do we use the word love? I love my wife. I love God. And I don't want to bring hamburgers on that level. But let me give you three words to write down and remember concerning God's love towards those whom he purposes to save. And this will begin to bring into focus God's love for those whom he purposes to save. It is eternal love. But here are the words that came to my mind. I want you to write them down. The word immutable. Immutable. The next word is unalterable. Unalterable. And the third word is invariable. Invariable. God's love in its nature is like God himself. God himself is immutable. God himself is unalterable. God himself is invariable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we could say a hearty amen to that, couldn't we? What if God was vacillating like we are? He wouldn't be God. Think of God's love. There's no degree of variation of God's love. God's love neither decreases nor increases. Dear ones, nothing has ever altered the love of God. And I want you to take this away home with you this afternoon. Once God sets his distinguishing love upon you, it is for all eternity. Think about that. Never ending. Never ending. going to read a quote. I want you to listen to the quote. There never were any stops, lets, or impediments to God's love. Not the fall of Adam, nor the sad effects of it, nor the actual sins and transgressions of God's people in a state of nature. Not all their backslidings after call by grace. For still he loves them freely, for God foreknew that they would fall in Adam with others, that they would be transgressors from the womb and do as evil as they would. Yet this hindered not his taking up thoughts of love towards them and his covenant with them. That's a lot to think about. Description. Accurate description of God and his love. These final words to the quote. Conversion makes a change in them, brings them from the power of Satan to God, from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from fellowship with evil men to communion with God, but it makes no change in the love of God. God changes his dispensation with him. He never changes his love. Now, the manifestations of God's love may vary, but the love that is in his own heart is unvariable. And it is unchangeable. Does that not give us much with which to rejoice today? Turn with me to Romans 8:35. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Skip down to verse 38. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know who wrote that? A little guy by the name of Paul, who wrote almost half the New Testament. He was in a Roman prison one time. Have you ever stopped to think what it was like? A dungeon. What was Paul doing in prison? He was writing letters. And you know what those letters were about? The love of God to him. He wrote this, shackled in a Roman prison. He wasn't writing letters trying to figure out a way to get out of prison. He was writing letters. We have the prison epistles. He wrote almost half the New Testament. I want to leave you with those thoughts, God's love, as we come to the table to remember God's love manifested in his death on the cross. And we'll ask the men to come.